Dear Jesus, thank you for all the wonderful times we've had today, and also please be with the speaker that's going to speak tonight. Help us all to be blessed by his words, and thank you for the wonderful next week that we are going to have. Amen.
This week, we get a husband and wife team to help us learn and study. And tonight we're going to have Pastor Daniel, who's with his wife Sarah. They're right back there. You can see them. He's going to come up, and she's going to stay back there. Pastor Daniel Spencer has three churches in the Kentucky-Tennessee Conference, and he'll be presenting to us this evening.
No, I don't need it. Good evening, young disciples.
Good evening, sir.
Thank you very much. It's a privilege to be here, and tonight, in fact, our first message will be a little bit an introduction, right? Because I don't know you, you don't know me yet, so I hope we get to know each other a little bit better. We are the Spencers. That's my wife, Sarah. I believe I did a good choice, didn't I? Yes. And then I have three kids that are here. I have Rebecca here up front. She's 15. I have David there, he's 13, and I have Joel that is right here. I cannot say Joel is not my son because everybody will really see that it's not true. We look a little bit alike, but he will get better afterwards, won't you? We would like to share a little bit. This is our first year in Young Disciples, and we are originally from Europe. Well, in fact, from several places, but we ended up there. I was born in some islands from Portugal. My wife was born in Brazil. She came up to Portugal and grew up there. That's where I met her. My kids, some of them were born here in U.S., others in the mission field. So what you see or hear is not a French accent. It's a Portuguese accent. But I still think we can communicate, and we've been missionaries overseas for more than 12 years. We were in many countries, more than 12 countries. And the Lord kind of guided things in a different way to bring us where we are now with the three churches that I am pastoring now with my family. As I was coming to preach in U.S. 3 years ago, I came to preach in several churches up north and up south. And I was challenged to stay as a pastor, and we took that challenge. So now we are missionaries in U.S. So U.S. has been sending a lot of missionaries overseas. Now overseas missionaries are coming to U.S. And we met young disciples through my daughter. She was 12 years old, and you know, teenagers, they start getting in a lot of turmoil and searching for answers. And she was not happy with some challenges that life was bringing her. So she started searching, and she found young disciples. And she said, I want to go there. And she was talking to my wife and I want to go there. So what is this? And we were checking. And this was a camp in Australia. I said, well, isn't that a little bit too far? Then the dream was vanishing, and later on we were finding out so many things that are happening. She was starting to know some ministries, some activities. We started going to the family retreat. She was starting to follow the Neblet family and finding that inspiring families that were really challenging the youth. And it was interesting for us. And later on, the Lord came up with this opportunity. Young disciples. What does this mean? Young disciples. First, it means you are younger than I. Thank you. Tell me. Young followers. Very good. This is a great challenge, isn't it? So I would like us to share a little bit about this. If you want to open your Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, we have a text that is very, very strong. And I would like it to be our motto today, tonight. And that we may think about it and we may reflect a little bit about this. This is a deep, deep spiritual challenge. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. And he goes like this. Let no man or no one despise your youth, but be you an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So you see, two things are connected here. The first one, that no one should despise you because of your age. So many people were called by the Lord at a young age. Some were kings, some were prophets. And age should not be something for people to be prejudiced about your ability in the Lord to accomplish something. But if you notice, it's connected with something else. It says also, let no man despise thy youth, but be you an example. So the way people will not despise your age, your young age, is when you strive to walk with God and be an example. When you take commitments with the Lord. And sometimes this is very hard. You know, it's a privilege that we get old, we grow old, we are not with the same energy, and it helps us. But when we are young, the Lord can do a lot with us. So tonight, I would like to share my experience, how I became a pastor, and how I would like for this story to inspire you in your decisions. I would like to have a word of prayer as we start with this. I know we've been praying, but I want the Lord to inspire me word by word. So I'm going to kneel here. For the sake of movement, you can kneel in your heart and bow your head. If you want, you can kneel also, but let's keep reverent. Father in heaven, at this moment, I would like to ask for your inspiration, your Holy Spirit, to be with me, that you may give me the right words and give us the right understanding and the right spirit, that we might be uplifted and inspired by you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was born an Adventist. Can I see the hands of those who were born Adventists? Woo! We had a lot of them. Sometimes people say I was born in church. In my case, I could literally say that. This was the church. This was my house. This was the school where my parents were teachers in a mission. And my mom prayed, and she wanted me to be a pastor. My nickname when I was a little baby, a little kid, was Little Pastor. And she said, I'm naming you Daniel because I want you to be like the Daniel in the Bible. But as time went by, I say, Mom, you know what? This pastor idea is not bad, but I want to be an artist. I love drawing. And I said, well, this is what I want to be. When we were five, the islands where we were became independent from Portugal. So we moved back to the mainland. And I studied all my life, 9 years, from 6 to 14, in the Adventist school. Can I see the hands? I know many are homeschooled probably, but can I see the hands of those who have studied in an Adventist school? Or Adventist, if you want to say. Okay, not so many. And when I finished, it was until the limit that I could go in that school. I said, I'm going to the School of Arts in Lisbon. I want to be an artist. But I thought I was very strong. You know, I thought, man, I've been doing everything very right. You know, I'm there. I've never smoked. I've never drank. I didn't do any of those things. So I'm a good Christian. But when I got to the School of Arts, it was a challenge I was not prepared to. It was where all the fashions from the city will come. Drug was running free. It was really a complicated environment. And I remember that I entered when I was 15, planning to be an artist. And when I was 17, one day I was in church, and with all these things in my mind from the turmoil I was going through in the school. And I remember there was a preacher, and he made an appeal. And I felt touched by that appeal. And the appeal was for people that wanted to become pastors. If you wanted to join the ministry, I really felt the Lord calling me. And I felt impressed that I should be a pastor. But I said, you know what? Lord, being a pastor is good. I won't mind preaching and everything, but I really want to be an artist. You know, this is what I want to be. So 1 year after that, or more or less at the end of that year, I was invited by the Portuguese publishing house and started being an artist in the publishing house. And you could say, okay, you got what you want and you're working for God. But I felt, you know what? When you work for the Lord in these kind of things, they don't pay that much. I can make a lot of money outside. So I'm going to come out and I'm going to build up my own company and make a lot of money. I started making good money. But I started also with a lot of questions and turmoils. You know, I would go to church and people will say, we shouldn't listen to some kind of music, you know, pop, rock and everything. And I would say, why? Why can't you listen to this kind of music? I say, well, it has a lot of cursing words and a lot of things that are not good for you. And you know, those bands, people do all kind of strange things. And I say, okay, I think I have a solution for that. What if we start our own band and we will make our own songs? No cursing words. What is the problem with that pop music? And people say, oh yeah, but the drums, you know, and all these kind of things. I was passionate by drums and all these kind of things. And I think, well, what is the problem? And they will give me answers, but those answers will not satisfy me. Has this happened to you? Sometimes you have questions. You ask and they say, no, why not? Because what? So I wasn't feeling answers and I started my rock band. I started a rock band when I was 20. And my band, we were all Adventists, you know. It was people from my church. I used to play my bass guitar or my bass. And there was a guitarist and a drummer. And we were okay. We even got a biblical name. You know what was the name of my band? Can you guess? Babel. It's biblical, right? It was a biblical name. And people were asked, why is the name of your band Babel? I said, well, we play all kind of songs, all kind of styles. It's like all kind of languages. And it was really an excuse. You know, we started playing in some birthday parties, then political rallies, and then nightclubs started coming. And I started playing drums and with the band in many places, and I started dancing. But you know what? Some people say, oh, you got out of the church? No, I was a deacon. So in the morning, I will go to church. In the afternoon, phone calls will start, and by night, we will do whatever we have to do. I have a friend. He was also a deacon in my church, and he was the guitarist for a heavy metal band for 10 years. And sometimes you don't wonder, but you can do a lot of things without leaving church. And I was very active in church. Whatever activity, whatever camp out, whatever things, I was always involved. But I was also involved with the world. And at age 28, and I know this might seem a little bit old for you, but I was feeling very young. My plan was, I'm going to get married at 40. I don't want to get married before that. I'm going to enjoy life and do a lot of things. So at age 28, I thought, well, you know what? I still want to be an artist. And you know what I want to do now? I want to be a movie producer. So I went into movie school and I say, you know what? I'm going to be like, you know, Steven Spielberg when they come and ask you, so what are you doing now? I'm producing this movie. And what do you believe? Oh, I'm an Adventist, you know, and I will share my testimony. A lot of people got converted because I'm an Adventist movie producer. So when I entered the movie school, I was realizing it was not that Adventist, the school. And it was bringing a lot of challenges, and my life started getting very double. All I was searching for was pleasure, motorbikes. I was going with... But I want to tell you something that is very important for you to know. None of these things I did, none of them. All I did was with Adventist people. My motorbikers group were all Adventists. My dancing at the nightclub group were all Adventists. And even at the school where I was studying cinema, there was another Adventist guy. So sometimes you may feel that you're safe because you have the label. And you feel like I'm doing everything straight. But something started happening. One weekend, a friend came and brought two girlfriends, and we went out to some discos in Spain, And I was kind of, this girl called my attention. I thought, wow, what a wonderful girl. And I was trying to surround her, but she was not an Adventist. But I was not too concerned. It was probably the first non-Adventist in my group. And when we came back to Portugal, she went back to her town, and I found a way to get her phone number and call her. And when I was calling to get the phone number, I called the friend that brought her, and it was like, oh, you don't know? Yes, what, the phone number? No, I don't know. No. Well, she went out with a friend in a motorbike, and she was without a helmet, and they had a crash, and she died. I said, what? She died? She was only 18 years old. And you know what I felt at that moment? I felt, wow, I had someone in my house that didn't know the truth. I know all the truth. And all I wanted to know is to have fun and enjoy. And this person now is gone. And I could have shared the gospel with that person. I lost many friends with motorbikes, many from the church. I lost George at age 17. He was overpassing a car and a truck came and he crashed. They'd even opened the coffin. Then Philip also died, age 17 to 18. Mysteriously, we were just jumping some places and he stopped the motorbike and fell down. You know, sometimes we take life for granted. And I started thinking about my life. That girl really impacted me. I was really feeling like, man, this is not right. I could take a different trend. So I decided to make a commitment with the Lord at age 30. I say, Lord, you know what? I'm going to take a step forward and make a commitment and take religion seriously. And I decided I'm going to get serious spiritually. I'm not going to be involved emotionally with anyone until you bring the right person. And I want you, I started praying, Lord, I would like you to use my professional talents for your work. And you know what? It's a dangerous thing when we started praying, when we start praying to the Lord. He hears us and he answers us. And sometimes even we forget about what we ask and then he will answer us. And sometimes he will answer and say, Lord, please don't answer that fast. But the Lord really answered fast. The union called me because they needed a host for a NAT, you know, those NAT evangelistic campaigns. And I felt, whoa, this is a lot of responsibility. I cannot be with a double life. I have to straighten up my life. Then I met Sarah and I met her in a camp out. And, but Sarah, you know, was exactly the opposite. Very straight. She was not, so whatever I would like to do, she will always say, no, what do you mean nightclub? What do you mean? So she was a godsend present to not let me derail. I was very weak. You know, sometimes I look at David and identify. David was very weak. He wanted to do the right things, but he was very weak many times. And you know what happened? Things started changing really fast. Sarah was also an artistic woman, but very firm, as I said, with a missionary spirit. And we got married. We came to U.S. And I was still praying. And I was still, you know, having some troubles. And one day I remember we were at Wildwood. Have you heard about Wildwood? It's a health ministry institution. And I was there and I said, Sarah, I don't know why. I've been praying for almost 2 years for the Lord to use my professional skills in the mission field and he's not sending any call. And Sarah turned to me, oh, you don't know why? I said, no, I don't. Do you? She said, yes. You want me to tell you? I said, yeah, tell me. Because you're the devil's window in this institution. I said, what? Yes. Everybody came here to be a missionary. You got your pile of DVDs and songs with all the songs you listen to and your pile of movies and you're trying to live a double life. When Sarah said that, I was like, you know what? The click. That's why the Lord is not calling me. Can you imagine a missionary like that? So I took my pile of DVDs and put that at the shelf. And Sarah said, I did not burn that. I said, no. You're going to get that again. I said, no. And I said, I'm going to have a commitment now. Right that weekend, Pastor Doug Batchelor came to preach at Collegedale. First sermon was, the party is over. I think, I got the message. And I came home arguing with the Lord and saying, Lord, you know I'm weak. You know I'm weak. You know the party. And the Lord said, you know what, Daniel? I don't want to hear this conversation any longer. So either you take a commitment or you get out of the church. If you don't get out, I'll throw you out. Because you know everything since birth and you're not taking commitments. Well, next day I went there. It was my favorite preacher. And the second sermon was, be ye holy. And Pastor Doug was saying, whatever we ask the Lord, He has the power to accomplish. And the Lord, when He says, He speaks, it happens. It said, let there be light, and there were light. Right after we came to a ASI convention, and I was invited, there was a project starting in Brazil, and I was invited. And now look at this. I was praying for the Lord to use my professional skills in that. And I was talking, and this pastor turned to me and said, you know what, Daniel? You have to make up your mind. You know, you've been praying for the Lord to use your skills. Well, you study movies and TV. I have a TV project that I'm starting in Brazil. We need people that will speak Portuguese. You speak Portuguese. We need Brazilian prod the boards, and your wife is Brazilian. So I think the Lord is answering your prayer and answering my prayer. My legs started shaking, you know. You know that picture from Uncle Sam pointing at you? Maybe you don't know. They said, Uncle Sam needs you. I saw Jesus pointing at me like that. And I started shaking, and I was sure that He was calling me, but I didn't want to go to Brazil. I said, I don't want to go. And we were praying about it, and I was searching and researching, trying to find a text that will say, don't do anything crazy, you know? And I was not finding that text. And I started Sunday, and it was Thursday, and I found a text from the Spirit Prophecy saying, when the Lord calls you, He sends His angels before you to prepare the way. All you have to do is stand up, go and preach. Whew, that was tough. I said, Lord, yeah, I wanted you to use me, but not that much. And I was depressed. You know, Jonah, I felt like Jonah. And one day somebody asked me, and said, Daniel, you look depressed. I said, yeah, I am depressed. So why are you depressed? You know, the Lord is calling me to mission. But was not that what you wanted? He said, yes, but I didn't want to go where He wants to send me. And it was, why are you depressed with that? He said, I'm depressed because of this. You know, the Lord has sent me there. And I don't want to go there, so I'm depressed. And I know if I don't go there and I go here, it won't work. Because if the Lord is sending me there, I will end up like Jonah. I want to tell you something, just to make the long story short. That was the best thing that happened in my life. It saved my marriage. It saved my spiritual life. I got involved in ministry, but I said, okay, I'm going to be a missionary, but I don't want to be a pastor. You know, pastor, that's too much of a responsibility. And the Lord is patient. He said, okay, Daniel, let's talk about missionary now. We'll talk about pastor later. And when I was age 40, now remember, when did the Lord call me first time? No, first time I was 17. 30, that's when He called my wife to help me out. 40 now, one day, it's New Year's Day, and they had some Bible verses for you to pick one and get one for you for a motto for the year. And guess what came to me as I stick my hand? Jeremiah 1:5 came to me as a text for the motto for that year. If you want to open your Bible, Jeremiah 1:5. And it goes like this. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. That was strong. That year I was invited to go as a mission trip to the place where I was born. To the church where my mom prayed. Now, I want you to see this. When my mom prayed, she wanted a son to be a pastor. My mom was 40. At this time, what age was I? 40. My mom was dead already. And I'm preaching there at that church where my mom prayed that prayer. Moms, sometimes we think nothing is happening. I remember my mom suffering when I was changing motorbikes here and there and doing crazy stuff. But she didn't stop praying. Her prayer was being answered. She was not even there to see. She will only know that in heaven. Can you imagine this? And I remember when I finished preaching, the pastor was responsible for the mission trip, he said, Daniel, you should go study theology and become a pastor. I said, no, my call is to be a lay evangelist. He said, well, I don't think so. Have you asked the Lord about this? I don't need to ask the Lord. I already asked him and he made me a missionary. That this is my call. So I think you should pray about it. And guess what? I prayed about it and the Lord said I should go. And I said, well, Lord, you know what? Classes start in September. We are at the end of August. The Lord said, I will take care of it. So I don't even have the money to go. I will take care of it. And we called and they said, well, we don't have a house for an entire family. And the Lord said, I will take care of it. So we found a motor home from the treasury or from our church, the treasurer. And we went, we got there. The Lord provided a house, everything that we needed. I took the course. We've been missionaries for several years. We closed down our business in 2005. And since 2005, we've been living without a salary. And the Lord has been providing everything, even for us to take this course. You know, since I became a missionary, these last 3 years as a pastor are the only ones that I have a salary. I want you to know that when the Lord wants you to work for Him, He will provide everything you need. And I want you to realize this in this day. Now, the Lord made me a pastor. And as I said, I want you to realize this. I was not still even done with my course when the Lord called me to be a pastor. I had to finish my course afterwards. What is the Lord calling you to do? Are you feeling, oh man, this is too much. Oh, this, I'm too young. Oh, this, I don't think I can handle this. You know, it's not about what you can handle. If the Lord is calling you to do something, He will provide the way and the training, all the things. All He needs you is to step on the water and He will open it. But you have to take a challenge. I want to tell you something. The best thing that ever happened in my life was to become a missionary and now a pastor. And I was wondering, of course, the Lord took me when I was 40. But I could have started these when I was 17. You know, Jeremiah was called, he was around 9. Ellen White was called, she was around 17. This is the best age. This is the best moment. Can you imagine all that the Lord can do with you if you start now? Why would you waste time? You see, when I look back, sometimes I'm in my room and I feel like crying. I thought I was having fun, but I was never having so much joy as I feel now. And you know, the devil will do this. He will bring a lot of shiny stuff to you. You know, when the Europeans came to America, they will bring shiny stuff and give it to the Indians, and the Indians will give them gold. Sometimes we are giving Satan our gold in exchange of shining stuff that worth nothing. You know, these TV programs where they have a box and $1 million and say, do you want $1 million or what's in the box? And you think, oh, well, $1 million is $1 million. And sometimes in the box is 30 million. You know, you never know how much is there. This is what God has reserved for us. Satan is trying to show you the $1 million so that you won't take what's in the box and you can't see. I want to challenge you tonight. I want to finish with one text. I would like you to open still in the book of Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. I want you to know that there's no one as able to accomplish your dreams as God. You are not able, you're not capable to accomplish your dreams as much as God is. Look at what he's saying here. Read with me, please. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. He wants to give you the end you are willing to have. And you know what I've learned in my life You don't want to waste your time like Samson. You want to have like Joseph, like Daniel, that committed at a young age and the Lord did a lot of things with them. What I've learned in my life is that when the Lord calls you, He will provide a way for everything as far as you commit yourself to Him. We want to share tonight a little song as we close down. This is a song that has been with us for a long time. This song tells us about all that the Lord can do. In fact, this song was written by a family from our church, a German family. We in our German-Portuguese church, this family, they suffered with the fires we recently had, and they lost everything. And you know what they did after that? They wrote another song, praising the Lord. You see, it doesn't matter what happens around you. If the Lord is with you, nothing can go against you. And if He's calling you to do something, take that call at this age. This song says, "My Lord shall supply all your needs according to His glory." Yes. We will sing this song in Portuguese. No, not in Portuguese. In Spanish and English. But it has a lot of other languages. Maybe we can take this mic. Okay.
Shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be the glory forever. Conforme a sus riquezas en gloria en Cristo Jesús, y a Dios el Padre nuestro sea gloria por siempre. In glory by Christ Jesus, now unto God and our Father be the glory forever.
To the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Let us pray all together. I will invite you to kneel down. I want to have a special word of prayer for you. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the mercies you have been showing towards my life, my family, and all of us every day. Thank you for being patient. Lord, forgive us for so many times we delay and we don't trust you. But Lord, in a special way, I want to pray for the youth here tonight that you may please touch our hearts and minds. Give us the strength, the will, and the ability to make right decisions, to choose the right friends, the right company, and to trust you fully so that you may accomplish your plans in our lives, which are the best plans for us. In Jesus' name we pray.